broadcasting live from the KHMB studios in downtown Half Moon Bay. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, the Coastside's own live call-in talk radio show. From Pescadero to Pacifica and beyond, this is the place for Coastside issues, hot topics, and you. And now, the host of Coastal Windage, Mr. Ruben Truthmaker, and his co-host, Crystal Lynn.
All righty. Good morning, Coastsiders. It's Friday, December 27th, 2024. It's time for some Coastal Windage. No Crystalline this morning. She's back in Ohio. So it's just me and Frank the Engineer and the interns. We dragged them in. No half day. This is a full week of work here. No, radio never sleeps, and neither does Coastal Windage or employees. Yes. Anyways. All right. So it's Coastal Windage here. Buckle up, because there's no Crystalline. So be ready. Okay. This could be a wild and woolly hour here on Coastal Windage. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, the Coastside's very own live call-in talk radio show. Been on the air since 2017. That's us. We're here every Friday morning, and when we get to the Coastal Windage year in review, when I say every Friday morning, you will be stunned at how every means. Okay, if you followed that. We're here every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. on KHMB Radio, 100.9 FM and rocking 1710 a.m. And of course, these days, streaming live on KHMBRadio.com. Coastside issues, hot topics, and you and me. And that's us. Okay, let's do this. Today's topics, high seas, in case you haven't been outside lately. Yeah, it's picking up out there. 2024 Coastal Windage Year in Review, our much anticipated Year in Review episode. And football 2024, state of, this is an annual episode that we do, an annual topic that we do. Got to check in on the state of football this year and my futurist prediction regarding football. And this is our third try on this. So if we have time, hopefully we'll get to the email bag. We'll see. Okay. You can call in and talk about any topic you want. It's an open mic for calls, 650-560-9851. Go ahead and send an email. Like I said, we've got an email backlog, but please, please, if you have something to say, go ahead and send an email. We'll try to get to it. Better to call, though, 650-560-9851. Okay, while you're pondering that or scratching that down on the notepad next to your rotary dial phone, here's the air quality report. Again, we're the only program on the only station that gives you live air quality report. Traffic, weather, old news. Air quality report, here we go. 0 to 50 is incredible. 51 to 100, pretty good. Over 100, not so good. We're usually in the teens to single digits here on the Coastside. Last week we were in the 20s, and we're there again this week. 28 in El Granada, 25 in Half Moon Bay, 18 in Redwood City, which last week it was in the 70s or 80s, I think, in Redwood City. So they've got better air over there this week. 35 in Santa Cruz. And today in Lebanon, Ohio, which is where Crystalline is, yikes, 231. Now there's, yes, there's a tire fire going on in Lebanon, Ohio right now. What's that? Oh, good one. One of the interns just joked. What do you mean right now? It's always like that in Lebanon. Okay. Easy on Lebanon. All right. So 231, but there's only, we did the research because that's what we do. There's only one sensor there. So here's the thing about the air quality report and the sensors. It's kind of crowdsourced information. People purchase these sensors and set them up, and then the information is relayed to the purple air data farms wherever they are, and they've processed and sent out into their online map. So if there's only one sensor in a town, if somebody's got, you know, their wood burning fireplace going right next to the sensor, it can, you know, jack up the reading. So with only one sensor in Lebanon, I guess the coal burning, you know, RCA plant is going right now in Lebanon. So, okay. 231 in Lebanon. Ouch. Wear your gas mask, Crystalline. Okay, high seas. The National Weather Service has issued high surf advisory and small craft advisory through Sunday afternoon. 60 footers have been reported at Mavericks this past week. Go and watch, go and check out some pictures and or videos. Some of these videos are just, they're just absolutely terrifying. It's hard to conceive. I mean, you think 60 feet, okay, that's like a, you know, what's that, like a 5 to 6 story building. You know, when you're looking at a building, maybe, okay, that looks tall, but it doesn't look that. But if you're on a surfboard and this building is moving and you're perched at the very top of it and now you're going to drop down the, you know, 60 degree face of it. I was talking with somebody the other day and they were mentioning how they have surfed 10 foot waves and they're 6 feet tall. And when they're standing on a 10 foot wave at 6 feet tall, your eyes are up 16 feet up. It looks monumental. Can you imagine a 60-footer? Go check out some of the videos of this past week at Mavericks. Terrifying. Per these waves, you probably heard about this. The Santa Cruz Pier collapsed on Saturday. And there were some people on it. Fortunately, I guess they had already evacuated all the businesses and everything. So the people on there, I think, worked for the city, which doesn't make it any better. But they were rescued and they were fine, no injuries. One kind of funny part of this, if we want to go there, there's a picture of a piece of the pier. It's like a part of a restaurant or something that has broken off and floated away, and it's like out of some, you know, kid story or something. It's just this house looking building. It looks like a house on, basically it looks like it's on a plywood platform, and it's just kind of floating in the harbor there in Santa Cruz, like, you know, half mile offshore. It's a pretty funny picture, if you can allow yourself to smile at that. Okay, also, and this is no smiling matter, but as happens, even in good weather, but especially in bad weather, several people have been swept into the ocean by high surf along the California coast in the last week. National Weather Service meteorologist Roger Gass didn't mince words about how dangerous conditions remain on the coast and caution people to just, quote, just stay out of the water. He says, it's very dangerous. We really don't encourage people to enter the water, even if they are experienced swimmers. He said, adding that if people are going to the beach, they should stay at a safe distance. We don't recommend people being on rocks and jetties and piers right now, Gass said. Be on solid ground, well away from the coastline. I mean, I sigh because, of course, that's good advice. But I guess I'm sighing that that advice needs to be given. I mean, really? It's crashing huge waves and we've still got people disrespecting the ocean. Okay, you need to be smart and respect the power of the ocean. Don't be a Pinta idiot or an Insta fool, risking your life for a selfie for your social media. That's what drones are for. Or you know what? Here's a novel concept, Frank. Get ready to have your world rocked. Just take a mental picture. People have seen big waves before. We don't need a picture of every single thing, and especially not with you in front of there doing your chakra or your peace sign or whatever as some huge monster sneaker wave comes and drags you out to sea. Okay, don't need it. I've seen a wave before. Never, and here's, you know, the number one rule, right? Never turn your back on the ocean like all these selfies have, right? So never turn your back on the ocean. You can't count. You cannot count on heroes like Riley Rhodes and Max Hunter and Zoe Chait to be around to save your dumb butt. Okay? Come on. All right, let's flip this around on the positive. Back to the swinging, back to the positive. Yeah, we're on a pendulum today, so I hope you buckled in. Back to the positive. Beach Break Film Festival starts tomorrow. That's Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I've bought my All Festival Pass. I hope that you have as well, and I hope I will see you there. Tomorrow night is the opening night festivities. I think there's like a sushi dinner or sushi catering. Anyways, the opening night festivities are pretty fun, and the opening night movie is usually pretty powerful, as it is this year about water rights. So check that out. Hope to see you there. This is the third annual. Also, we've mentioned this before, Sunday, January 12th. Write this down in your calendar because hopefully you've already bought the tickets. And if you haven't, go and buy tickets for anybody you know, especially if they have children. The Harlem Wizards basketball act will be coming to town. They're like the Globetrotters, only they come to small towns and they play instead of playing their own traveling team that travels with them. Every little town they stop in, you know, the Globetrotters are going to like world capitals, right? New York City, Madison Square Garden, all this stuff. The Wizards go to small towns like Half Moon Bay and they play a team of local celebrities and educators and whatnot. And yes, yours truly, Ruben, I'll have my 1982 John Stockton short shorts and my high socks, and I'll be out there with my headband huffing and puffing. Now, come on, Frank. You haven't even seen me play yet. You never know. I might be good or not, but I might be. Let's just go with that. Okay. Yeah, all right. Here we go. Again, buckling in. The 2024 Coastal Windage Year in Review. View. Okay. Exactly. Thank you. Okay. All right. Okay. Now we've got people from the viewing gallery throwing stuff. See this? We get the live audience worked up. And there's no controlling them. So now we've got like, do we sell concessions? Because there's like popcorn boxes and pieces of popcorn floating down. All right. So this year we added a new official co-host, as everybody knows, Crystalline. That's Crystalline with an exclamation point. Okay. Make sure we got that in her name. Okay. Let's go through the stats because these are important. As we drum up, you know, that valuable advertising money to pay for my hefty salary and all this beautiful equipment, gleaming equipment in here. Anyways, 53 episodes we did in 2024. Yeah, I know. There's only 52 weeks in a year. How is that possible? Well, I don't know, but we did it. Okay. That's how. Because we're Coastal Windage. 53 episodes in 2024, including the April 26th episode when the power went out in the building. You know what? We were here. Kata Gomes from Mucheate was here, along with Ryan Molinow and Frank the Engineer. We did an episode. We did a few minutes till the power went out because that's what we do here. Power, no power, we're here doing a show. Okay, here's the big stat I was mentioning to Frank earlier before the show. We have done 70 consecutive Friday morning live episodes. The last Friday without a live Coastal Windage was September 1st, 2023. Yeah, that's a pretty impressive stat. Just try to do anything for 70 weeks in a row. That's not your main thing. Okay? It's hard. 70 consecutive live Friday morning episodes. This year, 2024, we had 31 different interview guests across a whole spectrum of Coastside society, which is exactly the model that we try to base this show on, right? We want to introduce people to the community and vice versa, and really have a interesting swath of people that we highlight. Maybe some people that you've heard of that you read about in the news, some people that you don't. And that's the fun of doing the live Coastal Windage Shooting the Breeze live interviews. Well, let's just, so we've had politicians and political candidates like Sam Liccardo, Joaquin Jimenez, Patrick Horn from Pescadero Municipal Advisory Council, Greg Diegas from the Midcoast Community Council. We've had nonprofit leaders and community activists like Cata Gomes, I just mentioned, Jill Jacobson, Rolando Madrid, and Sandra Sarabia from Boys and Girls Club of the Coastside, Natalie Down, Corrine Butker, Aisha Barrow, Larry DeYoung, and Christina. See, this, people don't believe that I can mispronounce my own name, Robin. And here's Christina Baker, who's president of the Cunha Athletic Boosters, and I'm mispronouncing Christina. I mean, it's a pretty straightforward name, but there you go. Okay, so I think I butchered every name in the nonprofit leaders and community activists list, so that's pretty good. I'm consistent. We've interviewed educators, the now and already former new superintendent of the Cabrillo Unified School District, Amber Lee Alva, Pete Cerneca, who's now a new board member for the Cabrillo Unified School District, Sophia Lane, an outgoing board member replaced by Pete, Kathleen Wall and Abby Foster, who are teachers or were teachers in the district. We've interviewed media types, Clay Lambert, Emma Spaeth, Catherine Peary from KPDO and Pescadero, and of course, Michelle Dragony from Coastside Buzz. Artists like Sean Harris, the Caldecott and Newbery award-winning illustrator, Julie Mell, and Michal A., who had the brilliant post on Nextdoor about what is your favorite dish menu item, your favorite menu item, not restaurant, your favorite menu item at any of the local eateries. I still love that post. Had a lot of fun with that post. Go back and listen to that episode. It was pretty good. Business folks like Crystalline, David Oliphant, Linda Galindo, David Westendorf, and Eduardo Coronel from Pelagic Seafood. And incredible people doing incredible things like Ranger Kelak, who we just had on, who's an executive life coach and walked across America. Alice Granados, who works for the Feliday Foundation that studies mountain lions, and of course Amy Applehands Gubser, singular human being, the only person ever in the history of the world ever to swim from the Golden Gate Bridge out to the Farallones. All these people have been on this show and been interviewed on Coastal Windage this year. That's just this year. All right, here's your job, your assignment, listeners. Call in. We've got the intern standing by to take notes on paper, so I'll actually be able to look at them and keep track. Who would you like to hear on Coastal Windage in 2025? Who should we have on the show that you want to hear from? Zoe Chait? Yep, she's on our list. Sam Liccardo, now that he is a U.S. representative. See, we got to know him before when he was just a civilian, and now he's a person of power. We could have him back on. Steph Curry? I mean, if you know his agent, let me know. We'll have him on, sure. Ray Mueller? He's got a lot on his plate, a lot on his mind. It might be nice to hear what he's thinking. Vinod Khosla? Maybe. I don't know. I'm just throwing out names. You know, like, who would you like to hear from in 2025? All right, while you're contemplating that and getting ready to call in at 650-560-9851 with your suggestions for guests for next year or this year. Well, next year. It's not this year yet. It's still last year. If anybody just followed that, call in and explain it back to me. We've had 15 guest hosts in 2024, including Crystalline, of course, before she was officially signed on. Michelle Dragony, Livy Streetwise, the amazing and just uber Livy. We also had guest hosts who made their, and those three are old hands, young hands, but old hands at the business of hosting Coastal Windage. But we had several people make their guest host debut in 2024, including Matilda Brussels Shouts. Yes, we're trying to work Matilda up to maybe be a regular here on Coastal Windage. She was fun to have on. Aisha Barrow has done several episodes now as a guest host. She's really Aisha brings the gravitas, right? And also usually interviews when she guest hosts. She usually has some really stellar interviews when she does the show. Jill Jacobson, guest hosted this year from Boys and Girls. Sean Harris. Jim Henderson, Mike Dale, and radio legend Jay Michaels made their Coastal Windage hosting debut. Of course, all three of them are longtime radio stalwarts, but this was their debut hosting of this show. You know, it's not easy, but the three of them, you know, it takes three radio legends to equal one Coastal Windage regular team, right? I mean, okay. Ryan Molinow, we mentioned Rylan earlier in the show, and David Westendorf and Eduardo Coronel, we mentioned them early in the show. They also guest hosted, and of course, Michal A. Okay. Some important episodes that we had this year, which I know that you are familiar with all these because you've listened to all, what do we have, 53 episodes so far. Our May 31st episode was in memory of Dominic Jimenez, son of Joaquin, who tragically was killed in a motorcycle accident in May. We had our September 13th premiere episode for this season with Amy Applehands Gubzer. And that took a couple of months to get together. I don't know if you saw, she had a little vignette on the Olympics and some other things. What I asked her when she was here, which I still don't understand, is how is she not blowing up on commercials and other endorsements? I mean, this is the only person to do something in the history of humanity. I mean, how is she not, you know, selling cars and computers and whatever else that needs to be sold out there? Come on, this person, we're paying folks in professional sports gazillions of dollars to learn on the job or to be ineffective or whatever, guaranteed money. Amy Applehands Gubzer, the only person to do something in the history of humanity, is working her regular 9-to-5 job, making her regular wages even after doing this incredible feat. Okay, we've got a phone call. This is Ruben this morning. Who have we got on the phone?
This is T-Bone.
T-Bone, it's been a long time.
It has been a while. I've been wanting to call, and then today I had an idea for you, for someone to interview.
Great.
Next year, so I thought I'd call in.
Okay,
Paul Nagengast.
Paul,
I would love to hear from Paul.
Okay, so Paul Nagengast.
He's now the mayor.
Well, I don't know. He's not actually. Robert Brownstone is the mayor, but because Half Moon Bay rotates the mayorship around its city council members. So
right.
Paul, I believe, has been elected to a 4-year term. I believe that at some point during that 4-year term, he will become mayor.
Okay, still, we must have him on for an interview. That would be awesome.
I would love to have Paul on for an interview. We tried to get Paul and Joaquin on before because Paul unseated Joaquin
in the recent
elections. And we tried to have them both on the same show, but we couldn't work it out. And we wanted to give each of them an opportunity to have equal time. And so we couldn't work that out. But now that the election is over and Paul has won, definitely that's a great suggestion. I think Paul's got some strong ideas about what he wants to do, and I think it would be important and interesting to hear those ideas directly from him. And so we have added him to the list. Yes, that's a great idea.
Awesome. Great. I have one other that just popped into my head.
Oh, okay.
This one is a little different, but what about David Oblovy? We haven't heard from him in a while.
Yes, David Oblovy, that's a good one. So David, I haven't heard from...
He guest hosted once, didn't he?
He's guest hosted several times, and we've had him on as an interview guest as well. And you know what, here's the thing, thank you for bringing this up. I haven't been in touch with David lately, and actually, need to do that. So thanks for prompting me not only to have him on as a guest, hear what he's up to lately, but also reach out to him as a friend and make sure everything's okay. So thank you for that. I will definitely do that. Two great suggestions. That only leaves us with 50 weeks left to fill, but perfect. Thank you, Tebow.
You're welcome. I'll keep thinking of more.
Okay, great. And thanks for listening and thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Ruben.
Okay. Bye-bye. Love to hear from our regular callers like T-Bone and Penny Packer and Rusty and Rick Barker and the Ice Cream Lady of El Granada. These are our fun regular callers. Okay, continuing on, we had the episode with Amy Gubser. We had Sam Liccardo, who I mentioned when we had him on he's been on the show actually several times, or multiple times. I mean, I don't know how you would define several. Several sounds like two hands worth. But I would say he's been on a few times, which a few would be one hand's worth. Several would be two hands worth. Okay, but on May 10th, we had him in the studio here. We had a great conversation. He was in here for the whole hour, which I really appreciate, and which will be hard to do going forward because now he is elected U.S. representative. I'm not saying that coastal windage carried the day for him, but I mean, you know, when every vote counts and the massive listening audience of coastal windage here on KHMB had to have helped somewhat. All right. We also had here's a fun episode. If you want to go back, all of our episodes, all 295 episodes over seven seasons are available in podcast format on the KHMB website. You would go to khmbradio.com, click on the show podcast tab. They're listed, the shows are listed by year, so whatever year that you're interested in, and then the shows are listed, you click on those links, and then it lists all the shows, and then you would click on the link for the show you want to listen to. So go do that to listen to all the shows that you missed, but a really fun episode to check out is the August 23rd episode that has Livy, Streetwise, Matilda Brussels Shouts, and Julie Mell all working together on that episode. That's a fun episode. I mean, any episode that you're lucky enough to have Livy on is gold to begin with. Then you add Brussels Shouts. Now you're up to platinum. And when you add Julie on top of that, you've got what are those things called? Like some kind of opals that have all these amazing colors in them. You've got opals when you've got the three of them. Okay. Another interesting episode was our January 26th episode with Clay Lambert, who was the, at that time, outgoing. I believe that was his last day as editor of the Half Moon Bay Review, or Coast Side News, whatever it's called now. And then, I think like a month and a half ago, we had Emma Spaeth, who's the new publisher. So we kind of bookended the year with a look at Half Moon Bay Review past, Coast Side News present. Okay, again, all these episodes are available in podcast form on the KHMB website. And we're here every Friday morning at 9 a.m. live from the studios here on Main Street in Half Moon Bay. Think about that while you listen to this commercial message.
This is Community Radio for the Coast Side.
100.9 KHMB.
Generous support for Coastal Windage comes from Cameron's Restaurant, Pub & Inn, and now RV Park. Cameron's is the only true British pub on the Coast Side, featuring 19 beers on tap and more than 60 brands of bottles. Come for the food and stay for the fun. Happy hour specials Monday through Friday, open mic night on Thursday, and karaoke on Friday and Saturday. Cameron's Restaurant, Pub & Inn in Half Moon Bay.
This is Jay Michaels. Join me this morning at 10 o'clock, right after Coastal Windage. I'll be along with Stan Warren Luttrell getting a check of your weather. Also, we'll take a look at today in history. And don't forget our forgotten find. All comes your way right after Coastal Windage on your Friday morning from 100.9 FM KHMB.
Oh,
All right, rocking out there with Old Anxiety. I mean, isn't Friday? I was just listening to radio legend Jay Michaels give the promos for what's coming up after Coastal Windage. What a fun day of radio Fridays are on KHMP. You've got Coastal Windage, which is live. We're live. Okay, these are real people talking in real time. This isn't recorded. There's no outtakes. There's no do-overs. There's no mulligans. This is all happening with real. There's no AI. It's real humans in the room being human, warts and all. That's what I love. And then you've got following this day in history, weather report, all the fun stuff with your local information and content here on KHMP. Okay, let's get back to my self-congratulatory episode here. We just finished off Coastal Windage Year in Review. Now let's look at football, comma, state of 2024. All right, let's go back in the time machine. Back in December 2017, December 1st, 2017 to be precise, I made one of my boldest and most visionary futurist proclamations, that being, within 25 years, this was back in 2017, within 25 years, the NFL, the National Football League, will become a flag football league. Flag football. Not tackle, flag football. As you imagine, at the time, and decreasingly less so, but at the time, I was practically laughed off the air. A level 9 eye roll, or greater, as Livy might say. I mean, Livy, her baseline is a level 7, so if you're up to 9, it's kind of like the seismograph chart for earthquakes. It's an exponential increase, so level 5 earthquake and a level 7 earthquake are not just a degree of 2 greater. It's an exponential degree greater. It's the same thing with a Livy Streetwise eye roll scale. Anyway, so it was a level 9 eye roll. But this was a bold and visionary announcement at the time, because at the time, 2017, there was no flag football at all associated with the NFL or anywhere, other than some small local youth leagues and middle school leagues. And in fact, I was at the time and have been since associated with the flag football program at Cunha. And so that's one of the reasons I was able to see where football is going, because I was immersed in flag football and I could have the vision to see where football is going. Okay. Futurists, such as myself, look backward and forward through time and consider current events to try to imagine what the future will be like. Okay. It's a whole triangulation, past, present, future, to try to understand where things are going. This is not, futurism is not predicting who's going to win tomorrow's ball game. Okay. It's not that, right? It's identifying trends and directions that things are traveling. And so when I said in 2017 that in 25 years the NFL will be a flag football league, because that, okay, whether it's 25 years or 20 or 30, whether it's 100% flag or not, the trend is moving towards flag football. And that is being borne out, and has been borne out in the 7 years since I made that prediction. For this futurist right here, speaking right now, the writing about football in the NFL was spray painted on the wall in huge Day-Glow block letters. And that is, tackle football, as it used to be, is unsustainable. It's not sustainable. Yes, that is the definition of unsustainable. It means it's not sustainable. And therefore, the times and the football, they are a-changing. Okay, CTE, which is the brain damage done by repetitive blows. CTE and constant injuries are affecting careers and star power and convincing parents to steer their children away from tackle football. There's a desire by players and their agents to extend players' careers to allow them to make even more obscene amounts of money playing football. Let's pause that right there while we take another phone call from a listener. This is Ruben, who we got on the phone this morning.
It's the Penny Packer.
Well, I've just got the Rogues Gallery of star callers this morning, huh?
Apparently, yes.
Well, we had T-Bone on earlier. Now we've got Penny Packer. Just waiting for Rusty to call in, and we'll have our trifecta.
I always love it when T-Bone calls in. She always has really insightful comments.
I mean, all of it, I think if they did a study, they would find that people who listen to Coastal Windage are just incredible. I mean, you know, it's facts. It's data.
Yeah.
All right. What do you got, Penny Packer?
Well, much as I and the rest of the Coast Side would love to hear you drather on about football, yawn.
Hello. I didn't even get to my... This was just a lead up. I haven't even come with the boom yet. All right. Anyway, so you love football and discussion of football and my incredible predictions. All right. Go on.
Level 10 eye roll.
Oh, Frank was, he was literally hovering over the rim shot button there. Okay.
I think, for guests, you should have on some of your frequent callers, not me, because I don't live permanently on the Coast Side. I traverse from here to there. But like T-Bone or Rusty or, the ice cream lady from El Granada, everyday people, they don't have to be heroes that, save people from the water, which I do find incredible. Those are my favorites. But everyday interesting people and interview them and see why they moved to the Coast Side. What do they work on the Coast Side? What are their favorite dishes on the Coast Side? What are their favorite hikes, et cetera, et cetera. I would find that interesting, but that's just a thought.
Okay. Duly noted. I mean, we can barely get, folks to call it. This is an email community and a listening community, but okay. We'll have to find out how to get a hold of these people. We'll have to have them.
Well, you would entice them with your sweet KHMB swag and give them a tour of the studio, of course.
Oh, that's true. And, that's true. I mean, it's...
And then autographs from you and Frank. I mean, hello.
And Crystalline.
And Crystalline, yes, of course.
Okay. I see where... Yeah, we could get Crystalline to organize. We could have what we should have, Frank? We should have a gift shop. KHMB gift shop or a Coastal Windage gift shop outside the studio. I mean, we've got the room here. It's cavernous in here. Okay, those are great ideas. And I will definitely talk to Crystalline about enticing
maybe
swag.
Once a month or once a quarter, you have an everyday citizen featured. It doesn't have to be, every week, obviously. Once a quarter.
All right. No, that's a great idea. We'll add that to the list. And, but not you, huh?
I mean, again, I don't live permanently on the coast, so I think you should have to write me off.
Okay, well, we'll write you off. We'll never write you off, Penny Packer. We never write off any of our listeners, who are wonderful people by virtue of the fact that they listen to this show.
All right, and Coast Side, I've saved you from a couple minutes of flag football dribble, so unfortunately, we now return.
Oh, had Frank work this out before the show? Your little shtick here? Frank's got, he's got some kind of written script over there. I think you guys have worked this out ahead of time.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you for that. Great idea. And thank you for the ringing endorsement of this segment, because now we will return to it. I needed the break because my arms were getting a little tired patting myself on the back. So I was thankful for that rest, and now I can go back to doing that.
All right. Well, Happy New Year.
Okay. Same to you. Thanks for the call. Thanks for listening, and great idea.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay. And, yes, now we're back to the whole – see, it's important to spell this out in minute detail because – The path to flag football is progressing rapidly, and now people are like, oh, of course, I have That's obvious. It's been obvious. No. I've taken a lot of flack for this. A lot of eye rolls. A lot of like, no way, it's never gonna happen. Okay, so we're going through the reasons of why it was obvious to me that this was going to happen. We talked about CTE and injuries causing parents to not let their kids play football. So you're losing that youth foundation that matriculates up to the college and pro level. Desire by players and their agents to extend their careers so they can make more money. The rise of guaranteed contracts and load management. The loss of fan interest because the stars are constantly hurt or missing games. And the answer to all of these issues, the only answer, is flag football. Okay, tackle football puts an emphasis on strength, power, bulk, and violent hits. And these days, I get it. These days in America, everybody thinks they're a tough guy. Everybody's a tough guy. Everybody's got full sleeve tattoos on both arms. Everybody's working out at the gym but couldn't do an hour's worth of yard work in their own yard. Everybody loves UFC and nobody loves boxing because UFC is so, everybody's so tough and whatever. You know what? Especially in football, everybody thinks they're tough guys, but they're not. You want tough guys? Go watch some NFL, to the NFL films. Go watch some NFL clips from games in black and white from the 60s and 70s when guys were playing for a few hundred dollars a game outside in sub-zero temps on rock-hard fields with all the pampering that players get today, often playing through very painful and serious injuries and then going and working at their insurance agency in the off-season. Okay, that's tough guys. Not guys making guaranteed tens of millions of dollars a year with a full coterie of hangers-on, a chef, a personal assistant, you know, a personal workout person, a yoga master, all these, you know, their whole train of people that follow them around pampering them in every second of every day. So, no. Tough guys, no. I'm not buying it. So that's tackle. Flag football, this is the difference. Flag football emphasizes speed, agility, and athleticism. It's not how big you are. It's not how strong you are. It's not how hard you can smash the other person in the mouth. It's how fast and quick and good are you. Those are the things that flag football emphasizes, and that's really what people want to see, I think. Maybe not. Again, for some reason, we've gone from a compassionate country that's willing to put itself on the line for others who are less fortunate or who need help to a country of selfish people that are just about, look how tough and strong I am. Chest pound. Okay. Dial it back, America. Okay. All right. Every year since 2017, we've done this segment about football, state of. And at the end of the year, I need to update folks on the evolution of football to track my once scoffed at, quote unquote, overreach. As I often say on this show, and I said to Frank several times this morning on the various topics that we were discussing before the show, it's hard. I love this line from, from the movie White Men Can't Jump. It's hard. It's hard being, and this is a paraphrase, it's hard being right all the darn time. Yeah, it is. That was not a sarcastic drum roll. That was a supportive, you know, that to punctuate that comment there. It's hard being right all the darn time because, one, people don't want to hear it and would much rather bury their heads in the sand or base their lives on an unrealistic best-case scenario. So if anything that you are theorizing about in the future is in any way negative, people are going to immediately disregard that. No. Also, here's the other thing why being a futurist is just there's no satisfaction in it. When a futurist makes a prediction, it is by definition an outlier statement, far, far ahead of the current moment and people's immediate thoughts, and people can't wrap their heads around it. And that's exactly what happened with this flag football thing. So even now, 7 years later, after I've been saying it every year, and things have progressed down the flag football road, people are still saying, yeah, yeah, when I bring up flag football. And they're saying, yeah, yeah, now, both it out of both sides of their mouth. Yeah, yeah, it's not going to happen. And yeah, yeah, of course, it's always been an obvious and foregone conclusion. You know, what you're not saying anything new that I haven't already thought of out of one side of their mouth and out of the other side, but it's never going to happen. Okay. So just a reminder, listeners, you heard it here first, and you heard it here on KHMB on Coastal Windage. So since that 2017 proclamation, here's what has happened. Guess what? Flag football is part of the NFL. It is a part of the NFL. The Pro Bowl, the all-star game for the NFL, is a flag football game. And that is an indicator of where it's going and how it's going to go. And we're going to get to exactly how this is going to happen in just a minute. I just want to continue to pat myself on the back here. So the Pro Bowl is a flag football game. Oh. Flag football is now an Olympic sport because internationally and across all demographics, flag football is there for everybody. It is a universal sport. Tackle football, not so much. Also, tackle football requires a lot more equipment, and it's harder to get started in countries where football is not already in existence. But flag football is much more easier to understand and to play. And you know what? It's more fun. Okay. I know. It just keeps coming. College scholarships are now being offered by schools with programs that have a flag football program. College scholarships you can get at select schools. It's not everywhere yet. But you can, at select schools, you can get a college scholarship to play collegiate flag football. And that, those scholarships are endorsed by the NFL. NFL Flag is an NFL program intended to promote flag football at the college and youth levels. They run commercials all the time. There's a professional flag football league. Yeah, it's one of the fastest growing sports in the world. Okay, here's how it's going to happen. Okay. One sec. While the NFL still tries to maintain that it's some tough guy league with a bunch of big, strong, tough guys, the NFL still recognizes that the game is inherently dangerous and unsustainable in its current violence. If we just look at this year, there's that new kickoff rule, which they put him in some weird formation with the idea that they won't be running as far and the collisions won't be as hard. I think that's a joke, but okay. But this is, again, they're trying to avoid these big hits and the injuries that result. Some players are wearing an inflatable wrap around their helmets to, again, try to reduce the CTE damage. Helmet technology has reached the level of disposable shavers now in terms of the amount of time and resources and money that are going into developing football helmets. There's the rules about targeting, which is leading with the helmet, and rules about, specifically for the quarterback, on where even on the body you can hit a quarterback now. You can't hit them everywhere at all times. So, again, the game is being micromanaged and changed to try to deal with the damaging effects of the violence of the game. And that itself is not sustainable. We're just going to keep, it's the frog in the boiling pot of water, just going to keep making these incremental changes and changing the game. Okay, so here's how it's going to happen. We've already got the Pro Bowl is a flag football game. The next step is going to be one preseason game. It's going to start with one preseason game for each team will be a flag football game. It'll be a game. It'll initially be marketed as a scrimmage because you got to ease people into the pool here. But one preseason game per team, it'll be flag football. Then after a couple years of that pilot program, then all preseason games will become flag because, you know, you don't want anybody to get hurt before the regular season. So why would you be tackling and taking the risk of injuries and stuff? So then all preseason games will be flag. Then Then it'll be introduced. Well, we're going to have one regular season game per team will be a flag football game. Just, you know, just as a pilot, maybe in the middle of the season, kind of like they have bye weeks now to kind of let teams rest up and heal from the injuries and whatever. Okay, one. Then an increasing number of regular season games until eventually it's just going to be down to December and the playoffs will be the only tackle football games left. And then the last step will be just the only tackling that will be happen will be in playoff games. And there you have your flag football league. Yes. Okay. But here's, okay. All right. Maybe you're not buying that. You should, but maybe you're not. Here's the alternative scenario. It's going to be one of these two things, the one I just mentioned or this one. Okay, here's alternative scenario. Players will continue to be hurt at an increasing rate. Injury repairs or repairs to these injuries will be increasingly feature non-organic than bionic solutions. So they'll be having just, you know, instead of having that knee repaired, just a new knee and maybe a new bionic knee that is attached to the living tissue and ligaments and whatnot, but has a chip in it with an AI monitor that continually is adjusting and blah, 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 blah. Okay? So, bionic solutions. Then the next step will be players will start opting for preemptive bionic surgery like they kind of do now with the Tommy John. Players, without even getting the injury, are getting the Tommy John surgery. So players will start to preemptively opt for bionic surgery to get, you know, a titanium knee joint or titanium knee joints or whatever, so they won't have to worry about blowing out their knees, okay? And eventually, the players will evolve to be various degrees of semi-bionic humans, okay? That almost every player out there will have some kind of bionic or robotic element to their body. Eventually, the players will be full robotic non-humans who are likened and nominally played in games by their original human. And we've got a phone call, but let me just finish up here. As AI develops, these robotic players will operate independently on field and eventually off field. And they will be, quote unquote, invested in by their human inspirations. And then the last step, as the worm turns and the robots start owning and playing semi-biotic humans and yada, yada, yada. In 25 years, humans are still playing tackle football, only now the owners, coaches, and fans are robots controlling the human players. There you go. There's your two future scenarios for football. Okay, we've got a caller. This is Ruben, who's on the phone this morning.
Hey, Ruben. Good morning. It's Rusty from Montero.
Rusty, we got everybody. Okay. I was hoping you would call Rusty. We had Penny Packer and T-Bone and now Rusty. Those are the big three of our callers. What's up, Rusty?
Oh, those two are the heroes. I just wanted to hope that you and Crystalline and Frank and the team had a wonderful holidays and safe and happy new year for everyone. Excellent year in the show this year. A lot of great growth and exposure and experience. I'm curious as to how you minimize the train of people that want to follow you, but that's a whole show. Do you play the three or the four at the on the basketball court?
Do I play the three or the four? Wow, technical question. I'm more of a three. I'm not big enough to play the power forward position. I'm more of a slasher, small forward.
Well, a little practice on the. You can do some rebounding. I mean.
Oh, I love to rebound, but that's why I'll slash in. I'll come slashing in from the elbow or something and grab that rebound. But I'm too. Too roly-poly and too small to hold my ground in there against the big folks that are going for those rebounds at the low block.
Fantastic. Yeah, I just want to call in and let you guys know it was a great show. I hope you have a great year. Really enjoy it. So take care, all, and Happy New Year again.
Thank you, Rusty. Same to you. Really appreciate those kind thoughts. Thanks for the call, and hopefully you will have a great 2025, Rusty.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. We had our top three callers call in today. That's a perfect end to the season. Okay. I think we have time to We got a couple of emails here. Let's get to all right. Beach Break Film Festival starts tomorrow, and we've actually got an email because Julie Mell, the founder of the Beach Break Film Festival, was on last week. This is from listener Coastside Oscar regarding the film festival. I love the chance to see interesting new films, and I will be going to the film festival again this year. It's such a blessing to have a local film festival, especially one of this caliber. Why can't we have a movie theater on the Coastside? Is it a cost issue or venue issue? If we had a theater here playing different movies every week, I bet it would be popular. I used to think that, who's this from? This is from, Coastside Oscar. I used to think that, Oscar. Now I'm not so sure. With streaming services and on-demand culture, are movies a compelling daily draw these days? I mean, every once in a while, but the spell has been broken. People, the movie-going experience is not enjoyable out at the big theaters these days. Also, I mean, you can see movies on the Coastside. We don't have a dedicated theater, but Beach Break Entertainment does movies. The Boys and Girls Club does movies with Beach Break. Oddfellows shows movies. Blake Merks and Montera shows movies. But like I said, our culture has changed, and the movie-going experience is watered down as tasteless as two glasses of... Excuse me. I totally butchered that. Okay, that intern over there was working on this joke for like 3 days, so let me try that again. Our culture seems to have changed, and the movie-going experience is as watered down and tasteless as 2 ounces of Coke in a glass full of ice. You worked 3 days on that? Really? Okay. Well, you got it in the show, so all right. You get your bonus this year, but come on. Listeners, what do you think the Coastside will get first? A real movie theater? A legit competition-sized swimming pool? A gondola system? Or none of the above? Yeah. Okay. But here's a question. Why do movies suck so much now? Yeah, I said it. They suck. The movie experience is no longer fun. Everybody's been conditioned by the cult of technology to just watch content all the time. Content is no longer a pastime or a way to relax. It has now become pervasive, invasive, and self-fulfilling. On iPads, phones, and watches, content is now a means to its own ends. You heard it here first. This is my saying. Content is the new opioids. Add that to on-demand culture, and nobody is interested in going out to a theater or stretching themselves to watch something that didn't show up in their AI algorithm. Also, concessions are outrageously expensive. Even the video games that used to be fun, there used to be a little arcade at every theater, those video games are terrible now. They're not any fun at all. Also, there's only 5 movies playing at any given time at every theater, the same 5 movies, even at a multiplex with like 24 screens. 10 of those screens are showing the same movie for some reason. And those movies are like 75% animated or kids movies. Check this out. Frank's giving me the 1 minute. So we got 30 seconds. Go and look up 1974, the best movie in the history of the world. The best year in the history of the world in terms of movies. Go and check out some of the movies from 1974. Blazing Saddles, Towering Inferno, Young Frankenstein, The Godfather 2, Murder on the Orient Express, The Conversation, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original, Chinatown, Death Wish, The Parallax View, Alex Doesn't Live Here Anymore, The Gambler, That's Entertainment. Those are just some of the movies from 1974. Compare that with movies from 2014. Frozen, Iron Man 3, Despicable Me 2, The Hobbit 2, Hunger Games, Catching Fire, Fast and Furious 6, Monsters U, and Thor The Dark World. Point proven. Okay, so... revitalize yourself and go to the Beach Break Film Festival this weekend and see some incredible movies that you can't see anywhere else. And they're here local. Go have some dinner at It's Italia and then go watch a movie at the Coastal Rep. That sounds like a great night out. Coastsiders, thanks for listening. We really appreciate your support this entire season or this entire year of 2024. And guess what? We'll be back next Friday. We'll see you next year. We'll be back. We will. I promise. Kristen will be here. I'll be here. Frank will be here. Most of the interns will be here. Hopefully you will as well. All right. Thanks for listening. Have a wonderful New Year's, and let's have a great 2025. For Frank and Kristen and the interns and KHMB, this is Ruben Truthmaker signing off. Until next year, Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast.